Lomond Campbell with Every Florist in Every Town. Lomond, also known as Ziggy Campbell, has been making music since his days as an art student in Aberdeen when he and a group of friends formed art collective Found, who among their projects made a record out of chocolate, built robots and experimented with sound installations using sensory, light and digital triggers, as well as five albums worth of more conventional music making. And for the last few years, Ziggy has been pursuing a dream to create a recording studio, artist's resident and a home by a lochside in the west of Scotland. And now, after much hard graft, that dream has become a reality, as Nicola Meehan found out when she went to visit.
Ziggy, I'm stood here with you in a place that I have been imagining for I don't know how many years now, quite a few. You can tell me how long ago it was that we sat in a pub, possibly in Crail, and you told me about this crazy idea you had to buy and convert a schoolhouse in the wild Highlands, remotely somewhere. When was that, first of all, that we first had that chat?
I think it was probably about 5 years ago.
Good grief, okay.
So we've been working on it for just over four.
And it was in your very much kind of hopes and imagination even then. So I had this idea in my mind of what it was going to be like. It's one of these wonderful things whereby I've now arrived and it's even more lovely than I imagined. And of course, the first thing that strikes me is we're stood outside the Lens right now. We'll talk about the title or the name of it in a little while. But I'm completely taken with this view. I mean, there's the most tiny, tiny little road that you drive up to get here. And then tell me about this body of water.
So yeah, this is Loch Linney. So it comes round the corner and then it joins into Loch Eel just as it gets past the narrows over here. And it's pretty good for wildlife. There's lots of otters and seal. And just now there's a lot of sea trout and mackerel jumping over the water. You've got what I think is quite a nice feature, which is quite a busy dock.
Mm-hmm.
And then along here, you've got Annett Industrial Estate, which is just over there. So mm-hmm. that's like a sawmill and stuff.
Okay.
But I actually think it's really nice. So although you feel quite remote and you actually feel a little bit like you're on an island because you're on this side of the water,
mm-hmm.
it's actually quite industrious and there's quite a lot of stuff going on the whole time.
I kind of also find it, in a lovely way, quite uncanny in terms of how much, to me, it completely reflects the aesthetic that has always, always been in your work, in your art, in your music, which is this kind of fusion or alliance of nature and industry. And so we're stood here and you're saying, yeah, you could see seals this morning when you were having your breakfast, but as you say, there's shipping containers, there's industry, then there's the hillside and the woodland. Yeah. It's all there, and that's something that you've always really explored in your work.
Yeah, and it's quite, I don't know, I find it quite comforting. I think some people maybe wouldn't like that, but I remember when I first moved here, I slept in the car because it was so disgusting in the building. And they have these big floodlights, which a lot of people complain about, actually. But they were quite comforting and
right,
it was quite reassuring to have industry, the sort of buzz and kind of noise of industry.
I'm loving this three-wheeling motorbike posse going by now.
Yeah.
Seal spotting, probably.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
That was you before when you were sleeping in your car. I love that. So that's what a nick this place was in when you first got it, that you had to actually sleep in your car because of how much work there was to do inside it. So 60s, 1960s, this schoolhouse
1966,
was
first. Yeah, right. So it's like one of these really common, it's called a Derwent system, so it's like a modular architectural system that was used a lot for community centres, like golf clubs.
Yep.
Because you know that.
Yeah,
know
it's a very familiar space, isn't it? In shape of a building, definitely.
Yeah. So they're not really that desirable. They're kind of like architecturally frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at them, there's like the total backbone of a really interesting post-Second World War modernist bit of architecture there.
Mm-hmm.
So all it takes is just to finesse the rubbish details that the councils and you know, whatever have done on the outside.
Yeah, because the actual existing structure had so many possibilities.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about, again, you know, in terms of some of the... All of your projects are inventive, but when I go back to something like Cybrophone, where you're exploring the possibilities of the humble wardrobe and what can be, you know, what came from that, which was this incredible kind of emotional robot band.
Yeah.
And again, this is almost like it's exploring the possibilities, musical, artistic, emotional, of something else that's very familiar to us, which is this kind of a structure. Mm. But it's unrecognisable now because of the ways that you've, as you say, physically changed it. Mm. We're standing at the back of the building now. We can see through the building because it's windows at both sides. So we're even here. We can see the water. We can see the industry. We can see the nature and the seals, hopefully, now and again. We'll get one yet.
You'll get one today, I reckon. There was one bobbing a bit earlier, so I think you'll get one.
And I won't break your skin if you carry me to the mouth of the sea.
Obviously, you live here, so mm-hmm. it's an incredible living space, but it's also a studio. So tell me a bit about the kind of like studio element of it, because that's so exciting, and now it's here.
So it's funny that like the main space, this that we're standing in just mm-hmm. now, was the main classroom space.
Right, okay.
Apart from this curved wall here that you see. So it was like quite big, mm-hmm. and the whole idea was let's not carve it up into little rooms, but to actually leave a project space. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a studio. It's not a big live studio room, mm-hmm. Unless you want it to be.
Sure.
I mean, we're kind of sitting around in here just now because mm-hmm. it's light and mm-hmm. it's quite a nice place to be in the summer. It's quite a nice place to hang out and do your work, but it's just a multi-function big space. Mm-hmm. So I've done a few, I've actually done a gig in here.
Really?
Yeah, we've played a gig in here with... We had Bill Ryder-Jones.
Oh, my goodness, wow.
We had Alan Bissett and his partner, Kirsten Innes.
Oh, yeah, wonderful Kirsten.
And a writer called Emer Martin. So we've used it as a gig space. I've used it as a recording space, used it as rehearsal space. I've done some sort of installation work in here as well because it's almost a little bit gallery-esque.
Oh, but listen, there's a bicycle, that might be for practical reasons, but there's a bicycle hanging from the ceiling over there, which looks like a work of art in itself.
Yeah, yeah,
as does the piano.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just a space that can be used in any way, and I think eventually I'll try and get some dampening sort of acoustic baffles up to try and soften the sound if we need it softened, but I mean, the people that I've had it recording really like it.
Yeah.
And I recorded my album in here, and I just had microphones everywhere for recording vocals. So all the reverb on my album is just natural room reverb.
Black is the colour of my love's shadow. It stretches far over the hill. Sweeps out sunlight and blackens the marrow. And rests in my heart like a chill.
This was something I remember at the time when we were first chatting about the album. The fact that, you know, the environment and the space had impacted so much on the kind of imagination of the record and the sound of it, because it works both ways, doesn't it? I mean, you're kind of seeking a certain environment, but also that kind of echoes back into what you're writing and what you're playing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely with that album. Mm. And I think because, I mean, I said it a lot, but when I first moved up here, there was no electricity and no water. And nothing to do when your laptop battery died. There was nothing to do. So I would just sit and play the guitar, and it was obviously acoustic, and I put it into these open tunings so that you could just keep going and just do really long form, like they weren't even songs, it was just messing about, but you do things for like half an hour on on the trot. And that's where the songs grew out of.
For Black River Promise.
Yeah.
I was thinking when we were driving here, we got the train to King Ussie, and then there's this gorgeous picturesque drive. And, you know, the more you drive and the more you get into the smaller roads and you're more in the countryside, there is this sense of space and of slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it almost felt a little bit like with Black River Promise, there was this idea that, you know, things can be drawn out a bit longer and explored a bit more than maybe had been previously.
I mean, I had to actually edit the songs down quite a lot because they were like 11 minutes, some of them, so it had to sort of shorten them. But yeah, it was totally informed by moving up here and just, like you say, the different pace, the different colours, the different sounds. And it just completely grew with the building as well, with the progress of the building.
Yeah, it's found its own life as well, and it has kind of ebbed and flowed in a really lovely way.
Yeah.
Let's speak specifically about The Lengths, which I knew first as a song, and then we now know it as this building. The Lengths, the song, came before The Lengths that we are in.
It did. It actually came out on a collaborative album a while ago, like 2013 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got this place, it didn't have a name, so we had to name it. So we named it The Narrows, because this piece of water out here is The Narrows.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the postie came around and he's like, oh, I see you've called it The Narrows, same as that boy just up the road there. So there was already a house called The Narrows. And I was like, well, what do we call it? And then I think it just sort of felt natural to call it that.
I love that sense of the kind of slightly eerie or uncanny in that The Lengths and The Narrows, in terms of kind of names, are extremely close and they evoke very much the same sense. Both existed already.
Mm.
It's that magical thing that can happen in art or in music or wherever, where it's like, yeah, the answer was there all along.
Yeah, exactly.
Here we are. Well, since we're here, it would seem very rude for us not to ask you to play The Lengths and to think about it in this kind of building that we're in just now, if you don't mind playing it for us
again.
Of
course, I'll do that.
I don't want to be a burdensome son. It's not like I went and murdered someone, but it's true, from time to time I go the length. I go the length. I go the length. When I run my tongue on my broken tooth, it's a painful repeat of the truth. Of a moment I went the length, 'cause I go the length, I go the length, I go the length. Family may think we'll never learn. A life adrift to them is a big concern. But as long as I'm with you, we'll go the length. We'll go. We'll go the length. When we're older, it's a long way back here. I don't know if things will be any more clear, but as long as I'm with you, we'll go the length. We'll go the lengths. We'll go the lengths.
Lomond Campbell there, playing The Lengths live in the actual Lengths. And I love as well, it is, again, inside, we were saying about industry and nature outside, in here as well, it's very much kind of craft. It's analogue and digital. It's, you know, it's the bike up there. It says, tell me about this piano. In fact, we're going to have a nose. There's an acoustic guitar and a piano in one area of the space. And then in the other, there's a very impressive looking body of wires, I'll call it.
Oh, yeah,
that'll be
my
technical term.
We'll go and have a look at that in a minute. So, yeah, the piano came from Liverpool, actually.
Uh-huh.
And it's quite unusual because it's a baby grand, but upright.
Yeah.
So it's got this weird curved, contoured top to it. So I'm not very good on the piano, but I thought it'd be useful to get one if people want to come up and record.
Give us a little chopsticks.
So yeah, I'm rubbish on the piano, but we actually had Myrid Green and Kenny Anderson, Kinguizo. Mm-hmm. They came up to record, I think it was November actually. So they came up and they were using it quite a bit.
Were they? Because yeah. She's incredible on the pipes as well, isn't she?
Yeah.
Did she bring her pipes up?
Yeah, she did. So yeah. We recorded some here.
Really?
And we did loads of stuff. They were here for like 5 days and mm-hmm. we were doing field recordings, going for walks along the beach, trying to get the Jacobite train as it went past.
And, soon as you try any of those things, you're right.
We were standing there for an hour and I was like, it's coming any minute now. But I was actually looking at the summer timetable. I got it totally wrong.
Train spotting, not your vibe.
Nah. So but it was really cool. So we just experimented. And I think what I want to try and do with this place is make it less like a commercial studio and just somewhere you can try things out. Got a workshop out the back so we can build things. I've got a little electronics lab for knocking things together if they're needed. So I think it's more of a space to experiment, which has always been the ethos of Found and the way I've always tried to work as well.
Yeah, exactly. I've always seen you as much as an inventor as a musician in the best possible way, you know. And I think that's it. It's always about questioning, what can I do with this thing, what are the boundaries and how can I push them, whether that's a building that we're in or whether that's the potential of a pop song or whether that's the potential of, you know, a plant in the Botanic Gardens. You had that as well, right?
Yeah,
so just remind us of the...
Yeah, there's been loads of mad projects, isn't there? That was years ago, the botanical... Yeah, I think it was a sound installation that drew... It made decisions based on how much water uptake there was with the plants and how many people were in there.
So the plants were making the music.
Yeah.
And now the schoolhouse is doing so to an extent. Can you play us something else while we're here and introduce it as well for us so I can listen to you and watch the seals go by?
Yeah, sure. So I'll play a song of Black River Promise called The Misery Bell.
Misery bell rings out for days. And forever her sound should propagate. I come running every time. The misery bell chime. Oh, the months go by without a sound. And then a bonny wretched clown comes shambling down. And I come running every time I hear the misery bell struck. Though I'm shielded by mountain giants, I still hear her metallic crying. And I come running every time I hear the misery bell chime. There's no dampener can keep her still. Or a hollow hidden enough amongst the hill. And I running every time I hear the misery bell chime.
Lomond Campbell playing the Misery Bell from Black River Promise. In the Lens. Was it written here? This another one that was
that
written
was,
in the Lens?
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Were you in this very room where you wrote it? Have you got a kind of like a... Have you got a writing...
Yeah, I normally wander about, so I would just walk through here when it was still kind of just a classroom, basically. I had like these big, you know, those big rotary blackboards little tables, little kids' tables and stuff.
So everything was here?
Everything was left, yeah. Everything was left. I mean, total like, almost like a Chernobyl-esque...
God, that's bizarre.
...cataclysmic event, like everybody get out, close the door and run.
It was fairly recently that it was actually... sort of decommissioned, if that's the right word, as a school.
Yeah, it was 6 years before we got it. So, yeah, we got it in like 2014.
Mm-hmm.
But it had been mothballed. So right, it was still, the heating was still on for like 3 years of that. So the building was in great nick.
Right,
really
okay.
Good condition. And it's like this system that I was telling you about. You've got these timber pillars.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's modular. You can see if you look at the roof, it's all based on this 2x2 sort of square modular system.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's actually quite easy. They were built to be extended up, so you could go up two stories or extended out.
Right.
And the guy that designed the system is called Vic Hallam, and he used to build chicken coops and sheds. So it was basically just a massive big chicken coop.
Exactly. Well, it doesn't feel like that now, I've got to say. How did you find this building? Because you're in Edinburgh at the time, right? You and Susie are based in Edinburgh.
Yeah, living there. It's funny because we saw it and then I was like, I don't want to... I mean, I'm not taking that on. Absolutely no way. That'd be crazy. And how far away it was and stuff to what you were... Well, what I was used to.
Mm-hmm.
But then that classic thing, you rented property, the landlord comes and kicks you out because he's... moving in.
Yeah, that old chestnut.
Yeah, so yeah, you basically just kicked out and you're like, you know, in the 5 years that we'd lived in that flat, the rent had just gone mad in Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, just forced your hand.
Right, okay.
So it was like, okay, well, let's just do it. And the council were just wanting rid of it.
And you thought, that's it, job's a good one. Little did you know the work that was going to
entail. Yeah, I didn't know. Or like how little enthusiasm banks would have for for funding such a project. So.
I bet they know now, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Eat their words.
Yeah.
So we've seen this grand piano, mini grand piano.
Yeah.
And then, so we're now wandering around. That's your guitar.
Yep.
Bo particularly likes you playing.
Yep.
Play that again, no doubt. And now, tell me about this, because I'm now faced with this incredible, I mean, if I touch it, I feel like, hey, Delia Derbyshire, right?
Yeah.
It's this absolute array of rainbow wires. That's my technical term for what this is.
So this is a modular synthesizer. So there's been a bit of a resurgence in these things, and there's a lot of new companies using this Eurorack format, which is the small format. It's all quite cunning, but good God, it takes up a lot of your headspace. I mean, I'm obsessed with it, and everybody I know that's into it is totally like, that's all they spend their money on, that's all they think about, that's all they talk about. When it comes to music, that's the only instrument they're using to make music, so it's addictive.
How long does it take to fire it up?
Oh, I just
that's what you say, right? That's what you say in synth chat.
You just turn it on. Yeah, you turn it on.
Can
it's
we
funny.
Hear something?
Yeah, we could.
Can
actually.
We? Can we hear a little? That's what I was
bleep.
Basically getting at.
Okay.
Nice little amplifier behind it. I'll just. Oh, that wasn't me.
Probably start doing something right off the bat.
This is getting an exclusive on some forthcoming Lomond Campbell.
I don't even know what's... There's a little random drum beat there.
I have to say it also has lights, which always pleases me.
I'll be there all day, you know, there's no stopping you once you get going with it.
Steve Reich, eat your heart out. I love that we're listening to that, and in literally two steps from where we are, I would be on the loch side, on the hillside, And again, it's just that complete kind of celebration of the harmony between, you know, technology and landscape and nature. You mentioned a room where you could possibly do experiments.
Yeah, through here. Come on through. Feel free to experiment in any of the rooms.
I'll take you up on that. Thank you. We're passing this wonderful kitchen. There's a lovely picture of a perch, an anatomical drawing of a perch here.
There you go.
Beautifully accurate. So I guess this is where the kids would have come, like down the corridor. It is an actual corridor.
Yeah, this was here actually, and this this piece of metal that looks a little bit like a kind of
slightly like a jail. Yeah.
So this
just
was
for detention.
There was. Yes, there was a door that slid here that we had to remove. But this was an original feature, so that's informed a lot of the furniture. So we just used bits and pieces of that and made up the furniture to try and keep in line with the
absolutely. Yeah, it's very much in the spirit of it, isn't it? As you see, the kind of, the interior, without at all, like I would never know if I walked in now, I would have utterly no clue that it had been a classroom because it's feel, and there are rugs everywhere and it's all very cosy as well as being very light. And, hey, there's instruments and synths to play everywhere, and I can learn all about the spleen of a perch. But at the same time, it's wonderful that it was the classroom, that it's had this complete parallel life, and that there's some spirit of that still going on in the building. Have any of the kids, have you located any of the pupils
yet?
Yeah,
there's a few of them.
Been in?
Yeah, a few folk, when they go past, they're, like, asking to come in.
Really? How lovely.
Yeah, there was a delivery guy, actually. When we got our windows delivered, he was here when he was a kid. And he says they used to have a record player in this space and they would put records on Let Him Dance About.
I love that there have been pupils now coming back. They must be absolutely blown away with the fact that not just what you've done with the building, but the fact that the building has a life again.
Yeah, I think that's a nice thing as well. And a lot of there's quite a lot of people that live locally who would have worked here, in the kitchen or like a cleaner or like maintaining the boiler. It's quite a lot of folk that have come past and come in for a look and just like shared memories and stuff about the place. And I think there was a bit of sort of doubt when we first took it on. Mm-hmm. There was people that told us to knock it down. There was one guy that told us to board up all the windows. There was one guy that said the whole building's rotten to the core. So there was a lot of kind of negativity.
Really?
But gradually we've sort of won people round. And I think we've done quite a nice job of it. Mm-hmm. So rather than having this wreck, there's actually quite a nice interest in building now.
And you're breathing lots of artistic life into it as well. Tell us just finally about Consort 4, because this is your latest release. And what's the kind of chronology of that in terms of...
Well, it's interesting. That's the only song I've been able to write in the past year, I would say. So, like, just trying to really push the building over the finishing line.
Yeah.
I only had the enough verve and sort of enthusiasm to write one song. So that's it. That's your lot.
That is the product of all that hard work.
Yeah, won't you?
Right. No, not at all, because it's everything else. We wouldn't probably be standing here doing this if it wasn't for the rest. And it is that thing, isn't it? It's like you have to find the physical time to then start writing again. Mm. But hey, it's open doors now, right? If I'm an artist or I want to actually physically create my Frankenstein's pop monster, or I want to record an album or collaborate or something, I can now come to the Lens, right? The doors are now open.
You could come and stay in it. The way it's designed is there's a residential space.
Which is gorgeous, yes. I gatecrashed that early on, obviously.
Yeah. So the idea is that if a writer wants to come, isn't interested in electronics and mechanical workshop and all that nonsense.
Yet.
they can just come and spend time there. And there's been it's really been pretty nice, because everybody that's come up, all my pals that have come up who work in the arts or, you know, even in academia and stuff, they've all loved it. Mm-hmm. And they've all said they want to come when it's finished and they want to spend time here and they find it a really inspiring place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think we're on to something with that side of it as a retreat almost.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, somewhere just to kind of get away from it all, or indeed to just go at it hammer and tongs. Well, I'm going to go find some seals and make you play me some more modular synth lullabies.
I'm up for it.
Loman Campbell, I love the Lens. Thank you.
Thank you for coming up.
That was Nicola Meehan with Loman Campbell at The Lengths. Loman sounding fabulous, and The Lengths sounds incredible in the Wild Highlands there. And there was also a quick burst of his new single, Consort 4, which is out now. And you can see before and after photos of the residents on our Instagram account at BBC Radio Scott. Well worth a look.